You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Claire Nelson, and we're talking about inflammation today. How do you explain inflammation in the body, Claire?
Well, that's a very interesting topic, and I have only recently educated myself in it the last 5 or 6 years because of my own inflammation. But what I have learned is that when the body says no, it becomes inflamed, and that inflammation can be heart disease, arthritis, psoriasis, cancer, Alzheimer's, I mean, weight gain, pretty well everything that is afflicting the body is a form of inflammation, and that is why anti-inflammatory medications are the number one prescribed medicine. So I went on them, and I just chose an alternate path, and that was research and learning about inflammation and what other alternate things I could do to heal my own body.
And what were some of the key things that you came up with, Claire?
The key things I came up with was that diet plays probably the biggest factor. There is a hereditary part to inflammation, especially when it comes to things like osteoporosis. But most inflammation can be avoided if we eat correctly and avoid certain foods and incorporate others into our diet. And of course, you know, being healthy and not smoking and exercising and all the stuff we know to do. But there's a lot of things out there that I did not know that I learned.
Do you think that the being as the number one medication is are the anti-inflammatories, do you think it's because all the baby boomers and that's the age group that we're in, or is it happening throughout from youth right on?
Absolutely, from youth right on. Working with my business, selling the turmeric ginger tonics, I get a lot of stories, a lot of people coming in front of me, telling me what their health issues are and asking if, you know, it would help them. And I hear so many stories, tragic stories, about youth with diabetes or youth with arthritis or youth with psoriasis, things that didn't generally affect people until they were in their 50s, 60s, or 70s. And so I think diet is probably the key factor in all of this. There is so much more that I am still learning, so I don't claim to be an expert at all, but I do share the notes that I have sort of amassed over the last 5 years with anybody who wants them, and then they can sort of look at what they're eating, how they're eating, do their own research, and try to tailor their own diets based on what is optimally healthy for them.
With the people that you've helped, what are some of the hardest things to let go of to change to a healthier life?
Oh, number one is sugar. You know, sugar is the number one inflammation-causing food, bar none. And it is also as addictive as crack cocaine. So, you know, I know my own addiction with sugar. I've been able to cut it way down in my body. And it's helped my inflammation a lot. But we are so attached to sugar. I mean, pizza. Pizza has sugar in the dough and a mass amount of sugar in the tomato sauce, not to mention the nitrates. And so, I have friends who own pizza parlors who might hate to hear me say this, but it's one of those foods that you have to really be careful about. And when I see youth eating pizza every day, I cringe because I know what health issues are coming down the pipe for them. They've got young, strong bodies right now, but our bodies can only handle so much before they start saying no, and they say no with various forms of inflammation.
Claire, when you say sugar, do you mean all forms of sugar, whether it's like maple syrup or honey or agave or coconut sugar? Are there different qualities to that, or just like too much glycemic index stuff is going to cause inflammation?
Right. So there's a couple points here. I want to talk about the glycemic index in a minute, but I think that we all enjoy something sweet. And if we are going to feed our sweet taste buds, then choosing those natural sugars that you mentioned is definitely a better option than processed sugar. But it still does spike our insulin requirement, or spike our blood sugar, which means our pancreases have to create insulin to combat it. So honestly, I really feel that if we can cut down on all sweeteners, including the natural ones, and if we can just focus on trying to get our sugars from fruit, not juice, but fruit itself, we are in much better shape, and the body will stop craving sugar, artificial sugars, when we have the natural sugars. Now, the other thing about eating for the glycemic index, that might be a new term for a lot of people, but it's a really important thing to understand how insulin works in our body. Insulin itself causes inflammation. So when we have too much sugar in our bodies will create insulin, and that insulin will then cause inflammation, and that inflammation will come in the form of arthritis or weight gain. With diabetics, when our pancreas is tired from all the insulin that it's had to create, we get type 2 diabetes. And so I'm a parent of a type 1 diabetic adult. So I have spent over the past 20 years trying to understand how insulin works in the body, what are the requirements, alternate sources of sugar, but absolutely not the artificial sugars, which are neurotoxins. Mm-hmm. So this is a really broad topic.
Yes. So those sugars that claim zero glycemic and that come from chemical labs, are they causing inflammation, or are they a safety net?
They do. They may not spike your glucose in your blood, but what they do is most of them are neurotoxins.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to use an artificial sweetener that doesn't have any carbs to it, because it's really the carbohydrates that spike our blood sugars, if you're going to use a natural sugar, find one that is made from a natural source rather than a chemical-made one.
Uh-huh. Now, if we're using something chemical and you say it creates a neurotoxin, our body inflames around that to try and remove it from our body? Is that how that works?
You know, I'm not sure about that, Kathy. I haven't gone into the science of what happens with the neurotoxins, but I do know that the baby boomers, the Diet Coke generation, have more Alzheimer's than any other group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Alzheimer's coming on at an early age, and it is a fact that neurotoxins cause Alzheimer's. So I don't, want the artificial sugar industry jumping down my throat, but it really is something we all have to be educated about.
Yeah, we're not naming any one of them, but it is, real food, because this is a real body and it knows how to digest real food. It doesn't know really what to do with chemicals.
And anything that goes into our body, we are feeding our blood, right? Everything gets broken down. The food gets broken down into its molecular components and travels through our bloodstream to all of our organs and our tissue and feeds every part of our body. So the food we put in our body is gas, like a car. Mm. And too many people forget that the food we put in is fuel, and you wouldn't put water in your gas tank, mm-hmm. right? So it's like you have to remember that it's so important if we're going to have optimal health, what we are eating is absolutely imperative in our short-term and our long-term health.
Absolutely. I think in Ayurvedic medicine, they say the food you eat today in 30 days, that's your blood, your bones, your skin. Like, it takes our body that long to recreate and create the new tissue, but that's what you're making it from. So it's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm very happy that I was able to, when I became inflamed 5 years ago, which came on with menopause for me, I went from bike riding 15 kilometers a day to being bedridden. I couldn't even roll over in bed within a couple months. And the doctors diagnosed me with severe osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, and then fibromyalgia. And I did all the anti-inflammatory medications. Now, this is a lifetime of eating healthy, but I was still putting stuff in my body that my body was saying no to, and I was ignoring the signs. So everyone needs to know what food they just really shouldn't eat. Everybody's body chemistry is different. I will say, you know, using the fresh organic turmeric root has helped incredibly with my body, and I don't have the inflammation anymore that I did have. I'm completely mobile and without pain. And this is after the doctors told me I'd be on prednisone the rest of my life. Oops, sorry for the name drop there, but but it is, right. It is the number one anti-inflammatory prescribed.
Right, emergency treatment only.
Yeah, but you know, it is so overprescribed, honestly. Yeah. All anti-inflammatories are. So a little bit of education and work, you know, with not only your doctor, but also a naturopath. Learn about nutrition. Learn what foods heal, and what foods kill.
Mm-hmm.
And really sort of everybody needs to take a really good look and slow down and just look out. You know, the first thing we're doing is our diet.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it's sedentary behavior. It's lack of exercise, mm-hmm. right? So, and then the substances that we put in, the alcohol and the feel-good foods.
So, Claire, were there other things in the food groups that you saw as real no-nos that in your body, in your system, when you came up with being bedridden and all this inflammation, were there other things that you just pulled from your diet?
For me personally, I have a real reaction, an inflammatory, arthritic inflammatory reaction to nightshade vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So that is potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. And I can go without the eggplants, but those other three were quite a staple for me my whole life. And when I cut them out, and it was hard, but when I cut them out for a month, I really did notice a huge difference. Unfortunately, capsicum, which is, you know, my culprit, is in everything. So I've been traveling for a month. I'm actually making this call from Nanaimo. And it's very, very hard to go to a restaurant and eat without there being capsicum in it. And that's a sort of red pepper powder.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so chili powder.
Right.
So I have, you know, I'm. This is an absolute work in progress, but I do share all of my notes,
mm-hmm.
everything I've accumulated, all of my research, everything that people share with me. I sort of verify it. I add it to my notes. So this information sharing is an ongoing thing. And, you know, if anybody wants to email me for my notes on eating an anti-inflammatory diet, they're welcome to. It's actually a speech that I gave at the women's show, and I'm giving at the health and wellness show this coming weekend in Abbotsford.
Great. We're just going to go to a quick break, and then we want you to tell us all about your elixir. We'll be right back.